I'm Glenn Richards, and it's a great pleasure to speak once again with humorist, author, lecturer, actress, and stand-up comedian Paula Poundstone. Paula is a panelist on NPR's wildly popular news quiz, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and she's also the host of the almost as popular comedy podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, hosted with fellow Wait, Wait panelist Adam Felber. It's available wherever podcasts are, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, or facebook.com/nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone. Her 1996 HBO special, Paula Poundstone Goes to College, will be released for the first time as an audio album on Pandora on October 23rd and worldwide on October 29th. Also on Saturday, October 23rd, her famous observational humor and quick wit will be on display live and in person at the Sharon L. Morse Performing Arts Center in the Villages, 7 p.m. More info at thesharon.com. Last time we spoke was right before the pandemic shut everything down in March of 2020. Your show at the Phillips Center here in Gainesville got postponed and finally been rescheduled for March of 2022. But what have you been doing? How'd you spend the lockdown, Paula? Welcome and hello.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I worked really hard during the stay-at-home order. People say lockdown. It was not a lockdown. Our homes locked from the inside, first of all.
True.
So no one was locked down. We were asked to not go out. And certainly there were some businesses that were shuttered because of safety issues. But anyways, I worked. I always say I worked my ass off, but on the other hand, I would reach back with my hands, and there it was. I started out making like comedy videos just to try to lift spirits of my followers and audience. And of course I have my podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, that you kindly cited. And by the way, there's an even easier way of listening, which is, it's right on my website.
PaulaPoundstone.com.
Paula Poundstone. That's exactly, yeah. This couldn't be, I don't see, with the exception of going to people's homes and turning it on for them, I don't see how I could have made it any easier. But so I worked on that. I made an additional mini podcast that I did for several months, which was called the French Trump Presidential Press Conference, where I played French Trump and my friends played the press. And I made a goofy little homemade game show. All those things took a lot of energy and time. And then, of course, I have a house full of animals that I'm always caring for, because otherwise I would never walk.
Last time, I think it was 14 cats. Is it still 14, or is it grown?
No, you know what? In addition to all of the sad, awful things that occurred during the in the last year and a half to all of us, my cats, not because of any, they weren't sick, they got old.
Right.
They were old. And so in the course of like a year and a half, I lost like 8 cats, I think it was. Now I have 10 because a few months ago I got 2 kittens, which, by the way, was one of the smartest things I ever did. They're just so much fun. And, here's the thing about me. I will always laugh when the black cat chases the tortoise shell cat out of the room, and then the tortoise shell cat chases the black cat back into the room. That joke will always be funny to me. And they do a lot of that. I'm a perfect mark for like a Tom and Jerry cartoon. I see it coming and I still think it's funny.
Oh, I know.
It's been just joyous.
It's very entertaining. We have 2 Pomeranians and 1 white with black spotted cat. And the new Pomeranian and the cat will torment each other very passive aggressively by blocking the door that leads to the deck. Like one will just stand uncomfortably close to it and the dog doesn't know what to do, or vice versa. And the cat will just be like, oh man, you're turning my own medicine against me.
I have one, I have two big dogs. And again, thank goodness, because, you know, walking and getting some kind of exercise, especially outdoor exercise, is so important to mental health. I wish it wasn't. I wish the answer was sitting in a chair eating Doritos, because that's what I'm good at. But, you know, to just sort of go for a walk, I live in Santa Monica, and I've lived here for a long, long time, and I'm pretty much bored of my neighborhood. So the idea that I would just go out and walk around by myself is simply not going to happen. I mean, I'll walk to do something. I'll walk to the post office. I'll walk to the radio. But the idea of just sort of wandering about ain't going to happen. But because I have two big dogs who simply must be walked or they'll drive me insane, and the funny thing is, everybody in Santa Monica that was now working from home or perhaps not working at all during the stay-at-home order, we all started, you know, walking our dogs every day. So it was like a four-lane highway on little Santa Monica streets that the sidewalk was so busy. And, of course, we're trying to avoid one another because of the pandemic. We're trying to avoid one another because dogs on leashes don't do well together. So I change lanes more frequently walking in Santa Monica than I do driving in Santa Monica. It was very, we should have, like, pedestrian signals.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, did you get to meet some of your neighbors that way or –
No, because everybody's
social distancing
one another.
Right.
Everything was far away. You know, I actually applied for work in the very beginning. I applied for work at two different grocery stores for two reasons, or perhaps three.
Toilet
one
paper?
Was, I could use an income. No, toilet paper wasn't part of it. That I'm selling on the side. No, one was I could use an income. That was important.
Always helpful.
But the other reason is people look so miserable in the grocery store. I mean, for me, it was the only place that I went, you know, deliberately, other than walking around, it was the only place that I went, you know, during the stay-at-home order. I had to get groceries. But everybody looks so sad. And part of it is, of course, the mask. You can't really tell. Like, I find myself when I'm wearing the mask, like trying to emote with the top part of my face. I've become a silent film star. I bat my eyes and I try to indicate to people that I'm smiling under my mask.
Right.
You're
Clara Bow.
Exactly. I was thinking Louise Brooks, but fine.
Okay. Excellent.
I wanted to be able to make a living and connect with people in such a way as that I could lift their spirits during this, you know, horrible period of our lives.
Yeah.
And by the way, neither grocery store that I applied for work for hired me. Not only that, but the one that I actually shop at usually, I filled out my application and I have to do online. So then I go to the grocery store like a few days later. And I said, can I talk to the manager? I said, oh, yeah. So I talked to the manager. I go, yeah, you know, I applied for work. She goes, oh, yes. Oh, I'm so sorry. We just had hired like 12 people before we got your application. I said, oh, that's okay. Okay, thanks very much. And I walk away. I think, well, you know, I may as well grocery shop while I'm here. So I'm pushing the cart down the aisle and over the PA. There's this recorded thing that says, do you want to work at the Vons? They are soliciting people to apply for work after just telling me that the reason they didn't hire me was because they said, do you want to work at the Vons? Everyone but Paula. So I think it was a little bit more personal than the woman was willing to admit when I spoke directly with her.
Ouch.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awkward.
It really was. I'll tell you, I didn't make eye contact with anybody over in canned goods as a result.
Well, now you're back on the road. So how does that feel?
It's great. It's really great. I have, you know, the audience is my best friend, and I have missed them so much. And the other thing is, it just feels so good to talk, to, you know, to have that communal response to what we've been through. So I'll, you know, share a little story, about what I, you know, and people have that sort of recognition laugh. And the truth is, it was great to be able to watch things on screens while we couldn't be together. Terrific. I'm all for it. But there is nothing like being a part of a live audience. And by the way, it's so important to me that people be vaccinated and masked and do everything they can so that we don't lose this again.
Yeah.
Or even more importantly than that, so that they don't get sick and die, because they make lousy audience members when they're dead. That's what I find. And I don't mean to judge.
No, but that's so true. And, you know, I got to say, I was really impressed with the way entertainers responded with doing things on Zoom and doing things on screen, and how Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me pivoted to not having a live audience. That had to be unnerving to not have that kind of reaction, because you guys feed off of that. But man, you guys put together some really great shows. But still,
you
pulled it off.
You know what? That's how we started. In the beginning of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I mean, I'm not one of the originals, but I've been there for 20 years. And when I joined up, we were all in studios near where we lived. We were not in the same place, and we did not have an audience in front of us. You didn't miss what you didn't have.
Right.
But then I think what happened, and I might just be making this up, but I think what happened is they got asked to come do a live thing on stage by like some public radio station somewhere around the country. It might have been Boulder, Colorado. And once they tasted that elixir of an audience responding, there was no going back until COVID,
right?
Which pretty much had its way with us. So many of us had done it that way before. But there's just a huge missing element without the audience. And as a stand-up, one of the first things that happened to me was charities came out of the woodwork saying, oh, we're having a virtual gala, like as if this was a good idea. We have a virtual gala. Will you do it? Well, of course I will, is the first answer. But the second answer is you can't do stand-up via Zoom. You just can't. For whatever, you just can't. You can do something entertaining and perhaps comedic, hopefully, but not stand up per se. And I would say that to them. I go, yeah, I don't. That's really not going to work. And they go, oh no, we'll laugh. And so I was like, you know, event after event, struggling to sort of, you know, present what I do in this very awkward fashion. And finally, I had had enough, and I was like, okay. I'll do it, but I will not do stand-up. Meanwhile, it was musicians that were ruining it for everyone. Because for musicians, when they did what they do from their living room, I mean, unless you're Kiss, when they did what they did from their living room, there was something about it that made you feel more connected to them. You know, it was intimate. And, oh, look, Mary Chapin Carpenter's dog ran in while she was sitting on the stool in her kitchen playing the guitar. People loved it. And it really, it just reflected badly on comics.
Well, you could have the cats chase each other on camera.
You know what they do when I'm when I am doing something on camera? I use a tripod. They all come over and fight underneath the tripod for some odd reason.
Sure.
So while I'm taping or recording, while I'm recording, the tripod is bouncing all over the place, which is sort of the opposite of what a tripod is supposed to do. And no amount of moving them away and stopping them temporarily will keep them away from it. As soon as
they just want it more.
Come out.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. They're like, look, the thing that we like to bump into.
Well, no tripods, but you'll be back on stage doing your thing back in Florida Saturday, October 23rd, the Sharon L. Morse Performing Arts Center at the Villages at 7 p.m. TheSharon.com for more information or PaulaPoundstone.com. Have you ever been to the Villages?
I have. I worked there a couple years ago.
Okay.
And, I have to tell you a story.
Please.
Use it or don't, but here's the thing. I had never heard of the Villages. And when I write down a date in my calendar, I write, my manager will call and say, you have an offer for such and such a date at such and such a theater in blah, blah, blah city. But all I ever write down is the name of the city. I just, there's small boxes in the calendar. I don't want to just write down the name of the city. So what she had said to me was Orlando. I've worked in Orlando many times. So I there's a number of venues. I didn't bother writing down what venue, but Orlando. So, just like I'm doing now, as a date nears, I'll do interviews on the radio or interviews for the newspaper or a local publication to promote the fact that I'm coming there. And so I'm doing top 40 radio station or something at, 6 in the morning. And it's, the madman and the lawnmower in the morning show. And the guys say to me, they go, Paula, why are you going to the Villages? And I said, I'm sorry. And they said, the Villages, you're going to the Villages. And they go, well, what's that? And they roar with laughter. And they say, well, it's a, it's a senior living community. And by the way, that doesn't begin to tell you what the place. I mean, the place is enormous. They have their own school system.
Yes.
It's enormous.
Yes.
It's not just a couple of buildings where some, retired people live. It's a huge community. But they say, well, it's very right wing. And I said, because I'm a Democrat and I'm a proud Democrat, and although I don't always talk politics on stage, I do here and there, and I'm very honest about who I am and what I think, and everyone doesn't have to agree with me. I certainly don't insist on that. I'm not there to make a speech. I'm there to make jokes, but the jokes generally come from a point of view of who I am. And so they say this to me. They say, and at that point, it was like a few days away. And they were just horrified. And so they tell me this, and I go, well, then I guess I have my work cut out for me. And thank goodness I had talked to these guys, because otherwise, A, it's not Orlando. B, I would have had no idea what I was walking into. But here's the thing. I am a, pretty left wing, I don't know why it's described that way, but if you were to introduce me to the most right-wing Republican that you could find, me and that person, would find that we have more in common than we have differences. And I know that. And so when I went there, I even told them the story that the audience at the Villages, I told them the story. They thought it was a riot. And I had the best time with this audience. I don't know if I got the handful of Democrats that live there. I don't know why it was. I don't know what the demographic was within the demographic of the Villages that was there before me. But I'm telling you, I had a great time. And they said, do you want to come back? I said, please. So here I go.
That's awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun, that's for sure. The Sharon L. Morse Performing Arts Center in the Villages, 7 p.m. on Saturday, October 23rd. And you can find out more information at thesharon.com or at paulapoundstone.com, where you can also find out and hear the podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And also being released on the 23rd is the comedy album, the Paula Poundstone Goes to College, the audio version of the 1996 HBO special. So you're digging into the archives for these albums? How's that feel when you go back and you listen? But when you go back and you listen to yourself from 1996, like, how do you, looking back at 1996, Paula, what are you thinking in 2021?
I got to tell you, I'm kind of impressed with her. Because of this project and some other things like this that I've been doing with the company, they have sort of gone into the archives, and I don't have copies of all those things, or if I do, I certainly, they're in a storage somewhere. I don't listen to my old self. The hardest thing about starting back to work in June after the stay-at-home order is I can't remember what I said a year and a half ago, let alone back in 1990, Huda. So they send me a clip or something to say, can we use this or should we do this or whatever, and I listen to this thing, I'm hearing it like for the first time. And I'm like, well, gee, that's kind of funny.
You're funny. You should watch yourself.
I'm telling you, years ago, there's a great club in Pasadena that's been there for a long time called the Ice House. It's kind of a legendary comedy venue. And many, many years ago, they were having an anniversary show. And I was sitting in the dressing room beside Pat Paulson, the great comic Pat Paulson.
Sure.
And Pat and I had worked together years before that, even. I'd opened for him 1,000 years ago. And anyway, so he's sitting doing what all comics do when they're sitting in the dressing room, especially on a show that has tons of comics on it, which is he's looking at his notes and he's trying to decide what he's going to say. And he said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. He said, I can't remember anything. And I said, Pat, you used to do that thing where you said that you wouldn't even want to be president of a country whose national product is gross. And he laughed and he goes, I said that? I said, yes. And he goes, well, that's very funny.
That's awesome.
So I guess, I can't remember if he went out and did it or not, but it was a great joke.
Well, the 1996 HBO special, Paula Poundstone Goes to College, it's going to be released for the first time as an audio album on Pandora on October 23rd, then worldwide on October 29th. You can see Paula live and in person on October 23rd at the Sharon L. Morse Performing Arts Center in the Villages at 7 p.m. More information at thesharon.com and paulapoundstone.com. The podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, you can find that there as well. And we'll come and see you again when you come to Gainesville, finally, in March of 2022.
Cool. I can't wait. Thank you so much.
Paula, it's been great. It's always great catching up with you, and we'll see you.
All right. Take care. Stay safe.
You too. Bye-bye.